idea that John coming in at 24 about channeling being up money because he's not an organisation for
I think there's two key issues. One is, without question, it's another level of bureaucracy in administering benefits, and that carries its own costs. Secondly, it runs the very real risk of increasing dependency, not decreasing dependency. The key thing with social security benefits is to be supporting people to take steps to manage their own affairs as quickly as possible. And in the vast majority of cases, that can be done. Of course, it's always open for people who are working intensively with family services and budgeting services to, on a voluntary basis, agree that someone will administer their benefit for them. But to make it a matter of policy that people are compelled to hand over their benefit to a non-state agency, I think is going a step too far.
Yeah, the concern is also about possible financial controls. I mean, John Pompidou himself, at the Waitakere Trust and some of the others engaging that, has hardly been sort of models of financial control. Do you have concern about that?
This is a problem. In the years I've been Prime Minister, the Waiparara Trust has come under scrutiny on several occasions. I think you have to be extremely careful who you are paying other people's money to. Now, as I say, on a voluntary basis, there may well be cases where people entrust an agency with their money to be administered and to get support while they get back on their feet. But to make this a general policy matter compulsory for beneficiaries to hand over their money to agencies they referred to is a pretty long shot.
You accept that there was a problem that the wealthy money is not being used to put it on the table, being used for other things, and how better do you own the system to ensure money's been used for what it's been paid for?
I think the key thing is intensive case management of the families in this position, and Department of Work and Income does work very closely with non-governmental agencies working with families. Only on Friday, for example, I opened a new integrated service centre for the Salvation Army, which has taken the very significant step of bringing a lot of its services onto one site: budgeting services, employment and skills services, family services and drug and alcohol services. Now, also in the building working alongside them is a Department of Work and Income case officer. And so in that way, you can integrate the government and the non-governmental provider. That's the sort of service model I think can be very, very successful in helping families who've got into extreme difficulties.
John, I'm hearing you're quite critical of yourself and Labor today on his Radio Life program, where he said that the government was creating welfare addiction.
Well, of course, that's ridiculous, because our government has seen the numbers of unemployed halve. We're seeing trends down in domestic purposes benefit now, huge drop-off in unemployment beneficiary numbers. The reality is that we have, through our policies, seen many people work their way off welfare and into jobs which are sustainable. And that's a very, very good record, which stands up well against that of any government since the first Labor government.
But he was saying people at the very bottom of the pile, you're getting into third, fourth generation welfare dependency, and the kinds of ideas he's talking about now, he was pushing back in 95 when he was
This has been a long-standing position of his, but for the reasons I've set out, it's not one the government is likely to adopt. We don't support putting another layer of bureaucracy and cost into the system, and I think it runs the very real risk of actually increasing dependency for the very people that you're trying to move along the conveyor belt to full independence. As the record shows, we've been very successful in moving very large numbers of people along that conveyor belt to where they can go into sustainable employment and stand on their own feet and manage their own money.
Can you get tougher, though, about what they're spending money on? Can you say you can't spend it on alcohol or drugs?
On the alcohol and drug issue, there is provision for Department of Work and Income where they see people bouncing off employment and back onto with the unemployment benefit because of drug and alcohol problems to be required to undergo treatment as a condition of continuing to receive the benefit. We do have sanctions in the system. They can be and are applied. Work and income is vigilant where they believe people are misusing their social security payments. As I say, you deal with this through concerted case management and referring people to agencies which they can work with.
And the casualty family situation, for example, these people were coming through the women's or the job situation, so they weren't necessarily being picked up in terms of employment search.
Yes, and we're having a very, very close look at how that can happen. The Minister has directed the Department to look at running through and analysing households so we can get clusters per address of how many benefits there may be in one place, and then we can have a concerted targeting of those kinds of households. We are talking about an extremely small number of people, an extremely small number who have always tried to rip off any system that's going. What I'm saying to you is that because we now have the numbers on benefits lower than they've been in rather a long time, much lower, we're in a position to really target in on those who have been long-term trying to stay on a benefit when there are other opportunities.
Is there a provision to apply the sanction if the person hasn't just come back onto a benefit because they've lost the job because of drug and alcohol?
Well, we specifically directed Department of Work and Income to deal with this several years ago, and I recall, I think, standing in this room making announcements myself with Mr. Mahari around new areas of sanction. It was around the same time as the no-go zones policy was brought into effect, that if it is your drug and alcohol problems which are causing you to be unemployable, then you must deal with those problems or we don't pay benefit.
Have they been
applied? As I understand it.
Sorry, did you say that other initiative about getting an idea of how much benefit is being collected by
household?
Is that a new initiative started by the
company? This case, where there appear to be a number of benefits in one household, has caused the Minister to say to DWI, I want you to go and look at whether there are clusters of households like this that we can then focus on and see whether benefits are being properly paid. That's the aim of improving information systems, yes. And understanding from the discussion ministers had with Mr. Benson Pope this morning is that this is possible.
And what would be the sort of action taken in the case of those clusters or those families where there are large numbers of long-term unemployed? What will be done?
Case management and services around that to look at what the issues are, because we're very focused on getting the able-bodied off benefit and into work. We've been very successful at that, but you still have some cases, and this household throws up a number of issues of where people are operating under the radar. Back in 2003, when it became apparent that unemployment was coming down and down and looked like continuing to fall, which indeed was the case, I met with Mr. Mahari and the leadership of his department at that time to say we really have to drive ahead now on initiatives to get able-bodied people who've been on benefit for a significant time back to work. And that's why you've seen quite intense case management around unemployment benefits. And it's not just economic growth that's been solid over a number of years that's got benefit numbers down. There have been very proactive strategies, proactive to the extent, for example, of having contractors paid to pick up people, to take them to work in the morning and make sure they develop a work habit. There's been a lot done to actually link up long-term unemployed with work and see that they stay there. I'm sure Peter Hughes and his team were very happy to brief people on those initiatives. Yes, you can, because if they're losing jobs because of drug and alcohol, Well, yes, so then you have to deal with them through the earlier set of initiatives. Is there a household here which is able-bodied, which has fallen under the horizon, which needs to be targeted?
But you just talk about, you're taking a specific look at households where there are large numbers of
claimants. That's specifically what Mr. Benson Pope has asked the department to do arising out of this case. You'd need to ask him about that, but I do stress we've been a government which has been very successful at getting benefit numbers down. We are now down to pretty much the hard core on the unemployment benefit, but there are still quite a lot of opportunities out there, and we are looking very hard at able-bodied people who are not in work to find reasons for that, so we can deal with those reasons.
So just to make sure it's clear, previously the 2003 initiative was looking perhaps at individuals who'd been on long-term, and now Mr. Benson Pope has said, I want you to identify households or families or...
Essentially, yes. He's saying, is there a cluster here? Have we, perhaps in targeting individuals, not looked at the household and cluster of issues? I haven't got an update on that. We did make announcements around more aid to Timor several weeks ago when the crisis was at its height, but I'm not aware of anything since then. Well, we do think the UN needs to come in, and the UN assessment team has been in Timor, is still in Timor, and it is looking at what the shape of a new UN mission will be. A lot of the people who are in the mission in Timor at the moment have had experience from the past where the UN had full executive authority in Timor. So, including executive authority over security matters, but it's just not possible to say at the moment what form the mission can take, because you are now negotiating with a sovereign Timorese government and state, whereas in the past you were in a transition to independence, and in that transition the UN had security control. So they're going to, UN's going to have to work that through with the Timor government. Is this the Asia 2000 or Asia New Zealand call? Yes, I haven't had a chance to have a look at that yet, but I'm told that in general it reports that New Zealand's diplomatic and governmental relationships in Asia work extremely well, and New Zealand is well respected, but it is focusing its calls on a range of stakeholders in our society to increase attention on Asia, including business, including media, including education, and there's little doubt, I think, that we're foregoing opportunities in the region. For example, we have now, to the best of my knowledge, no New Zealand media representation in Asia. TVNZ closed its bureau, and it's many years since NZPA had the bureau in Hong Kong. So we don't get New Zealand perspectives out of Asia through our media. From time to time, media members get to go on an Asia New Zealand Foundation scholarship and come back and write very interesting things and continue to take an interest. But the lack of a regular news feed is a problem. I think the education sector needs to be mindful of the need to be forging very strong and long-term relationships with Asian counterparts for research and student exchange and joint degrees. And for business, it's very important to be there for the long haul, because Asia is incredibly important in our future. That's a truism, it hardly needs to be said. But our interest does tend to wax and wane with economic cycles, and that doesn't always enable you to build up the long-term traction that you need for successful business relationships in Asia. Yes. Well, I've really said as much as I'm able to say about it today. What I can tell you is that going back to 2003, there was a series of initiatives announced to deal with long-term unemployment, to get the able body back to work, to deal with issues which were stopping them working. And that was when unemployment was substantially higher than it was now. It is now the second lowest in the Western world. We've proved very, very good at getting people back to work, but there's still some who are out there who could be got back to work, providing some of the issues are dealt with. The reality is that some people get themselves into drug addicted, an alcoholic state to work, too overweight to work, too many health issues to work. There's quite a lot of things to be dealt with, and they're not easily dealt with when you're dealing with third generation unemployment. We're saying look at these clusters now to see where there's a cluster of issues. We're talking about an extremely small proportion of beneficiaries and a tiny, tiny proportion of New Zealanders. For whatever reason, they get into a cycle where they don't work. And that's, we've got to get at those underlying issues. I am hopeful of going, yes. No, I have been in the past, not as Prime Minister, but I have been in the past. Yeah. No, I'm hopeful of going.
The Libertarians filed High Court proceedings regarding the peach cards last election. What's your position regarding that action?
My position is that such matters are handled by lawyers.
Would you be seeking to get
struck out? I won't be commenting in any way. It's been put in the hands of lawyers.
Is it correct that Crown Law does have to put it to the
report? As you know, I've made it my business not to be praised about the report till I get it. I am hopeful that it's coming soon. Okay.